If you will just bow your heads, because we need to obey. Father, as we bow before you, looking for your word to come into our hearts so that you can have your way in us and to do a mighty anointed time that we can hear what your spirit is saying and understand your plan of salvation for each of us in Jesus' name. Now I want you to come with me to James chapter 4. And I want to preface it with Hosea chapter 4. So they're both fours. So in the Old Testament, you'll find Hosea, and I'm just going to give you one verse out of that. And they're kind of connected, so it's kind of neat. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And many times when we hear that word, we get an impression that it's a lack of education. A lack of education, I tried to perform by getting more knowledge. But I really believe that the prophet Hosea is really reprimanding Israel that they don't have a knowledge of their God. They don't know him personally. How many have a relationship with mom? Well, that relationship with mom or dad or both should be the type of knowledge that we're seeking towards God. Knowing someone, having intimacy with someone, is really what God is after with you. That's why he sent his son. That's the whole purpose of salvation. Now, if you go to John chapter 3, which I don't want you to go there at the moment, but John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to one of the elders in Israel, and he has no concept of where Jesus is coming from. And he says, you need to be born again. You need to be changed from above. And here is one of the teachers, the brightest, what you could call maybe the brightest star. His name is Nicodemus. Out of all the education that they have in Israel of our Lord's day, 2,000 years ago, this guy has no clue. And the Lord says to him, how can I talk to you about heavenly things when you haven't even got the basics down? But you see, they were all about educating themselves. And I'm not against education, don't get me wrong. And neither is our Lord. However, he wants you to have intimacy and knowledge of someone rather than just human flesh. How about spiritual to spiritual? Your spirit to his spirit. And having that harmony is what God is after. And religion tells you, well, get an education. And I'm not against religion and I'm not against education. But I really am saying is we need to go higher. We need to go higher with him and get his relationship into our hearts and our relationship to him in harmony. So that when we get that harmony, God will be able to perform the miracles that he wants. And everybody says, well, that was Jesus. Well, I've got news for you. Our Savior said, greater miracles than these will you do. Who's he talking about? It certainly wasn't the first generation, because the generation that came out of Pentecost did not do more than him. So he must be talking about somebody else. Their followers. James chapter 4. I believe the reason why that the church has not been able to go into the realm of the Spirit and to have a knowledge of their Father, and their Father's knowledge going back to him, is because of what I'm about to give you from James. Verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on yourselves. See, when I ask God for something, let's say I ask Him, I want $1,000. Which is a very nice request.
Sounds
very... How many are ready to ask God for $1,000? How quickly? All right. And then you decide, okay, I'm going to spend it on foolish living. And have a party for a month. Or a week. Or 2 days. 1,000 probably last year, but only a day or two. If you were really getting wild. Amen? All right. If God gives you the 1,000 and you go spend it on yourself, who are you worshiping?
Yourself.
Do you think He's stupid?
No.
You know, my wife's girlfriend used to always say that. And we sometimes would tease each other and she'd always say, "Oh, no, I'm not stupid. I'm very stupid." And so she used to pick on her husband because obviously we used to laugh together. But the bottom line that I think is we sometimes think God's stupid. I'm going to give you $1,000 to spend it on yourselves. Jose, no way. Not going to happen. So you don't get it because you don't ask with the right heart. But if you are asking God for something to make things happen for the betterment of humanity that He's looking to have you do. Remember, His perspective is to build up the body of Christ. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for you to build each other up. He's looking for you to encourage each other. He's looking for you to give words of knowledge so that you'll be healed and delivered. That's what He wants. Okay? Last week, there was a word of knowledge about a sciatic nerve. And I was struggling. I was back in December and beginning of January. I had a little problem. And the Holy Spirit sent me to a wonderful chiropractor that loves the Lord. We prayed together and he did some work on my back. And guess what? 6-7 weeks later, it was back. So the irritation was not completely delivered. Okay? Now, I can't blame myself because I don't know if I did something stupid or if it's just the darkness was trying to come back and just, you know, make my leg bad again. But the word of knowledge came and I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to receive that word of knowledge. I'm going to thank you for healing that leg." And believe it or not, I drove home saying those things and it got worse and worse. Why? Because the enemy likes to what? Test your ground. What are you really made out of? What is the inside of you going to say when the pain increases? "Oh, well, I take 2 more aspirins, go back to the chiropractor." No! God's word is alive. And I began to declare out of my mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I declared with my mouth, Jesus provided healing for me. He gave a word of knowledge to somebody just for me. That's because He loves me, not because He wants to beat me up. Okay? The more I declared the word, the pressure kept on going. I kept the pressure up. And guess who won? Yeah. One night the Lord said, "Put oil on it." So I took my bottle of oil and I put some on my leg and I said, "Thank you, Lord, it's done." And what? The next morning, there were no symptoms. Echoes are not real. They're just the voice of someone else crying out. And many years ago, the Lord taught me, echoes are not real. And there are echoes in the realm of the spirit, even in your carnal body, that can really cause you to go backwards. And then if you go back and admit, "Oh, well, I guess God didn't heal me. He really didn't love me." And it's not true at all. He did heal you. Just you got to claim it. And you got to keep declaring, no matter what the symptoms are. And as you stand on that ground, He will definitely let go. And I'll prove it to you. Verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? That's pretty hard to swallow, but it's the truth. Anyone who chooses to be a friend with the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the Scripture that I used. Submit myself to God. Resist the darkness, resist the devil and all his garbage, and he has to flee. It doesn't say he might, it says he has to flee. So there are circumstances in your lives that may be difficult. And God knows they're difficult. And his kindness to you is to let you develop your spiritual muscles. Just keep on doing one more time. God's word says, blah, 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 I'm healed. And as you declare it, and you declare it, not only are you going to begin to deliver yourself, but you're going to begin to believe what you're speaking. And as you speak it, it becomes a reality to you, and the darkness lets go. Now, does that apply to every single circumstance? Yes, it does. Because his word doesn't change. Now, how about unbelief? What happens when you don't have an ability to believe? Confess it. Say, Lord, I it's for somebody else. Oh, I can believe for them. Oh, I can believe that Susie will get healed. After all, she's so holy. I mean, she's so perfect. Look at me, I'm a mess. He can't really love me, but the Scripture says he does. So you can't go by the emotions. If you do, you're really making a mistake. Again, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, why is he saying that we're double-minded? Because sometimes we go by the emotions more than we go by the truth of God's word. We look at the circumstances and we say, well, that's why I didn't get healed. Well, after all, you know, God loves them, but he really doesn't love me. And yet, the Scripture is very clear. He forgave every single one of us. Have you forgiven yourself? And I'll tell you, the hardest person you will have to forgive is you. You know why? We're very related to the donkey family. We are. It's called stubbornness. Okay? And we go by what we've heard. And then we go by what we feel. Instead of going with what God said. I remember the Lord showing me a picture one time. He showed me a picture of a father. And he was like in the heavens in the clouds. And he's looking down at the cross, similar to what you see there on the wall. And he's watching his son. Because I was asking him, how come you love me when I can't love myself? How come? And he showed me that picture, and he showed me the blood dripping from his son's flesh. And at that time, I had two sons. And he said, picture your own son on that cross, and how well would you be able to stay without going down to help him and pull him off the cross? And I began to cry. That took care of the unbelief. I began to cry because I knew that I knew that I knew that if it was my son, I would have not let him die on that cross. I wouldn't have done it. I know I wouldn't have done it. I know me. I know how selfish I am. I would not have given up my son to death in order to purchase a bunch of yo-yos that flip like, you know, this way and that way. And do you ever listen to your mouth? How you flip from backwards to forwards to, oh, he loves me, not sure. We're a bunch of daisy pickers. Oh, guys, don't argue with the girls. They love you. What does it mean to purify your hearts, you double-minded? Because you need to get with God's opinion about why he let that son die. John chapter 3, verse what? John chapter 3, verse what? God so loved the world. Come on, say it. John chapter 3. Verse 16, God so loved the world. Now we're going to reverse it. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, religion says, God so loved me because I'm so holy. That's why he let Jesus die. But the sinners can go to hell. Let them not come near me. Their sin might rub off on me. But Jesus says, my Heavenly Father loved the whole world. That includes every sinner. See the difference? You see the opinion of men? And I'm talking about religious men. And their intention is to be holy. But in reality, by their fruits, you'll know they're full of holes. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his son for it. And religion tells you stay out of the world. Jesus went to Matthew's house, who was a tax collector, for lunch. Sat down with a bunch of real needy people. And all the religious folks were ready to spit at him. See where I'm coming from? Do you understand the difference between the two? I'm not being critical of them. I'm just trying to expose the darkness. James 4, humble yourself before God. If you've been judgmental against those who fall short, change it. Don't be that way anymore. Because the very ones you're accusing are the very ones that Jesus died for. You got an amen somewhere in there? Did he die for the one that used and abused you? Yes. Did he die for the ones that maybe stole from you? Yes. How about the one that used you like an old towel and threw you away in the barrel? Yes, he died for them as well. So where do you get off in judging and condemning them? You can't afford that. You got to go higher. The knowledge that he wants you to have of his love for every one of his created children, including all the animal kingdom. Yes, all of them. You say, well, why would God give a vision of two kittens? It doesn't make sense. Well, I've got news for you. Some people love kittens. And they don't know which one they should take home. But that word of knowledge identified the one they should take home. So you see, God cares not only for the little kitten, but he cares for the one who's deciding it's going to be, maybe that's the one I need to take home. If he has that much love to give somebody a word of knowledge about a little kitten that's black and white, does he love you enough to release healing into your heart and into your body? Your job is to resist My job is to let you know. Yeah, you need to change something. It's called changing your heart. And when you humble yourself and you ask Him to forgive you, He's instantly ready to forgive. We're almost done. Verse 10. Well, no, sorry. Verse 9. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. You know, sometimes we just need to beat ourselves and say, I'm sorry, Father, I did it wrong. I picked on somebody that's falling apart because you know what? I thought they were deserving of what they got. But the Lord says, would you love them, please? Would you hold them close to your heart? Would you intercede for them? Would you wait upon me to find out what I should be doing and what you should be doing? And then the walls of division will fall down. The walls of hatred will fall down. The walls of anxiety won't be able to hold you. Close your eyes. Say, as I humble myself, Lord, you will lift me up. If I've made bad mistakes against those who've injured me, by a choice of my free will today, I will do what you did on the cross. I'll ask you to forgive them because they didn't really have a knowledge. They didn't have understanding of what they did to me. So Lord Jesus, today, I set them free by an act of my will. So that you can heal me. Amen. And amen. Any additions? Yes, dear.
You read up to 10, but there was like another part of that, but I just...
Go for it.
Stuck in James. I think it's funny because while we were doing praise and worship, this is exactly where I was too. So when you said it, I just knew that this was total, that this message needed to be heard today. But the other part that I keep coming back to is there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?
Yeah. It gets you right off the throne, doesn't it?
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, dear. Silly, but remember what your sister just told you. Okay? If you're really hurting and someone has really wounded you, begin to pray for a double anointing of what God has given to you and give it to them. And when you give it to them, not only will God bless you, but He'll bless them as well. Because that's what He's a real giver of love. So you have one commission now. Love one another as I have loved you, says the Lord. Go out and give some love away. Don't hold it in your heart. Give some love away.